each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Tony.
Hey, Father.
Nicholas. And it's Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper.
And cookies. No? What is it? Crackers.
Yeah.
Crackers.
He's
okay.
Got his crackers. He's ready.
Polly,
for his energy.
How does Polly wants a cracker?
Polly wants a cracker. So, Nick wants a cracker.
All right. Let's pray, Tony. Let's not waste any time. So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And trusting now in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee. O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother, to thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right. Do you ever, you know, do you ever feel like you're not pronouncing words right?
Sometimes, yeah.
So that's how I feel today, you know? I often feel this way, but yeah. Like, is it our or our, let's see. Just, you know, I think I'm tired, you know. I told you before the show, I had a horrible nightmare this morning right before I woke up, and I woke up and it just made me feel like I just felt full of anxiety, right, and fear, and I don't even remember what the nightmare was, but it was
maybe it's your body saying something. You're in fear of something, but you don't know.
Yeah, you know, I guess I mean? I guess
you're
I'm
reacting
always,
to something.
Always reacting to something. You know, there's a lot to react to. You know,
I find myself in prayer. On a side note,
what?
I find myself in prayer when you said you don't know if you're pronouncing words right. I forget prayers.
That's called old age.
Well, yeah, maybe it is that. But I noticed that there's moments when I'm and you can feel when you're deep in prayer, because your mind kind of wanders, you know, it just goes all around. And then
okay, does your mind wander or wonder? What did you say?
Wander.
Okay.
Wander. My mind wanders.
Uh-huh.
And it's just interesting because it's just simple things. And I fear sometimes even on air when I can forget certain things. Yeah, you're just like you're pressured.
I live like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I said I did know. I'm tired.
You're tired. That.
Excuse me. I don't. I've got the little coffee here, so.
Yeah, to wake you up.
So you see this? You see, I have to just, I mentioned this, I always say, because I'm talking all the time to different people in different places. And you see this little coffee cup, you know, so this is a little espresso. So I tell I mentioned this on the radio. It hasn't kicked in yet. You're right.
Exactly.
Nick said the coffee hasn't kicked in yet. Only this is my third espresso today. So.
And it's a little cup. And
I tell the people after the Spanish Mass, because after the 12 o'clock Mass, I have confessions until 3 o'clock. And then I go back at 4:30, and so I tell them, I tell the people, I say, you know, so just let me give me, in Spanish I'll tell him, you know, just give me 15 minutes. So I just want, por un cafecito. Cafecito is like a little coffee, you know, a cafecito. So it happened that after, this was a couple of weeks ago, after the Mass, I go on and I change and I take off the chasuble and the alb, and I put on the cassock and what I wear to the and the stole that I wear for confessions. So that takes a little bit, and then but on the way I go to the I came back and I went to get the espresso. So there's a whole group meeting in the parlor. The leadership, I think they're getting ready for, or the different ministries getting ready for a Holy Week, or discussing who's going to do what, you know, and got to get the 12 apostles and the 12 others, and how we do it here, and for Holy Thursday, and just you know, just really basically, you know, what's coming up. We got Divine Mercy Sunday. Can you believe we're almost, you know?
Yeah, I can't.
It's just right around the corner, but. So I went into the little kitchenette is right off the parlor. So I made the coffee and I came out with this little cup, and so they all kind of laughed, like, you know, this
is all he needs.
Comes from a dollhouse or something, you know. It's a
exactly
little tiny cup. So it's nice. So I said cafecito. No, it's a little cafecito.
That's all you need.
So anyway,
and that espresso, that's pretty strong. So it's, you know, it does what it needs to
do.
So
I should have kicked in. This is the third one today.
But, well, you're gonna need a fourth.
Well,
fifth,
whatever. So we had the first confessions. So we've got multiple first confessions, but I had the first confessions for the first half for the school. This is just for the school. Actually, we had the first confessions a couple of weeks ago too on a Saturday morning, but this was for the schools. We have different. We're dealing with multiple communities within this one community. I don't really like the word community too much for some reason. I don't know why, but anyway. So the I don't think we're going to be making any sense today whatsoever. But it really is nice. It's such a moving experience. So I'm also doing the confirmation class. So I had the students for confirmation, and then from there. Had a little bit of time to get it ready for the families to come over, and so what they do is they bring. I mention this every year, but it's just every year I forget how powerful it is. You know, it's one thing. You know, confession is just a beautiful sacrament. Period. That's why I like doing it. The Mass and confirmation, and baptisms as well, and weddings, yes, as well. You know, and. Everything. These are these moments.
Special moments.
Grace. It's kind of like a pause in the journey of life when you encounter God in a distinct kind of a way, in the confessional, at Mass, certainly in baptism, at a marriage, even a funeral, which takes place within the context of. Let me just say that more and more people don't go to Mass. For funerals, I just think it's so necessary to have a Mass, and I think it's even if you're going to have a cremation, I think having the body present in the church for the Mass is spiritually and psychologically very healthy. But it is all these are every sacramental moment is like a pause in the journey of life. The adventure, the sacred adventure of our lifelong journey. And always to think, you know, in terms of that, the journey, I keep trying to impress that upon the kids that we're on a journey, on a journey, we're on the way.
You think about it, sacraments are designed that way from beginning, birth.
Right.
And that's why I think it's one of the reasons I like participating in, whether it's a communion or I like seeing a communion mass or confession or especially when you talk about confirmation, that's like it's the next steps.
It also keeps you grounded. And I'm just thinking right now the Sunday Mass, but I believe if people have the time, and I know people are grappling for time because of just imagine that we're already midway into Lent, I think.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. I feel like I'm still thinking Christmas, you know?
So I don't know if it's just because you're busy. A person is busy. Sometimes when you're busy, you just don't. But it becomes like, and dare I say this, it's, I guess the older you get, the way you see time just moving faster.
But I think young people are feeling
that. Yeah, I've
now
heard that from different people, yeah, too. Even younger people. And I think, wait, you got a lot of life to go yet.
But I think it's the technology. I really do.
Maybe,
I think it's the technology.
Yeah.
And I suspect. I mean, I can't. In fact, I had to make a few calls this morning because I don't carry my phone with me. You know, mm-hmm. I just can't. I can't do that.
It's a good thing.
And so I was so busy yesterday because we had the first confessions and... and as what I was going to say is, you know, we have the families, the students say, we do it. So it's a beautiful little paraliturgy. And then the students, they bring up, and these are second graders, right? Mm-hmm. So they're so cute. And they bring up their family members. They introduce me to the family. I know, in fact, you know, what's really interesting is two of the parents, I had their first confession.
Wow.
So, Ricky, yeah, you know,
yeah,
Ricky.
I think so.
You do know, yeah. you know Ricky.
I think I do.
So I had he brought his daughter up. They brought their daughter up, and
yeah.
And he says, you know, you had my first confession, and then Dolores as well. She came up and had her first confession mm-hmm. as well. So just again the rapidity of time, how time is yeah. really passing. But they introduced me to the family. So I know most of these families, you know. And, mm-hmm. And then the child comes up and confesses, and so people can see because this, their mm-hmm. first confession is face to face in the sanctuary, so they can see. And then after the confession, one child had 2 pages written. She wrote all her sins down in 2 pages.
Wrote this whole thing. We're gonna.
Yeah, I thought, you know, this is gonna take a long time because she read it very slow, you know.
Right.
And it was beautiful, but it really was beautiful.
Yeah.
And then afterwards they go down, the student, we go down to the gate of the altar rail, and the parents, the family members come mm-hmm. up because it's sometimes parents and grandparents and siblings, and I give them all a blessing, and the child does goes to the kneeler in front of the crucifix and does the he or she will do their penance. And then the next family comes up, but it's a very moving, very touching experience.
Yeah, you know, I think about this now, and again, we moved from the catechism where you actually sat with the kids to now it's a home kind of situation where it's one person, and it's like, I don't know, it's a Skype or, you know, thing like that where everybody, and I think I'm thinking about that interaction.
Right.
With a student. And
yeah.
I wondered the questions because I could remember how people would, like, I'm thinking, okay, how would somebody write a list of things? I think most people would have been forgetting or like, afraid. What if they forget? What
right,
if they
right.
forget something? And I think I remember hearing that in one of my, you know, when we had a class together.
Sure.
It's like,
or they become a stage fright.
Yeah.
You know, because they're nervous. You
it
know,
is,
a lot of them
yeah.
are very nervous.
That's why I think it's good that it's open like that.
Yeah.
But it's probably for other reasons too, I'm sure you know.
Yeah, right. Now their second confession, they're going to go behind the screen.
Right.
You know, we have the beautiful, in the chapel because
yeah.
they come to the rectory and we have the chapel and the doors are open and all that.
I am not a fan of the open confession.
I can't do it.
I did that once and it was. Stage fright. It was just something. It didn't seem right to me.
I don't mind. I mean, I don't mind if somebody. I don't mind hearing somebody's confession face to face, but
right.
I much prefer behind the screen, even for myself. It just. It's. There's a greater freedom in dealing and even in the dialogue that takes place, the counsel that takes place. Mm-hmm. I think, but
to me, you know, when you think of the symbolism of that, it's just. It's what I, as growing up, what you. See, but when you deviate from that, to me, it doesn't seem like a confession. It just,
yeah.
yeah although people will say it's the same thing. It, you know, it's the same thing.
Actually,
but no, it's
you know,
not.
As you're talking, you know, the wisdom of the church, you know,
yeah,
and having the separation, you know, the screen,
yeah.
even if you open the screen. So speaking of confession, so, you know, and I don't know if I've ever shared my first confession.
No.
So I'll tell you, we were Air Force
mm-hmm.
people, so we moved around, you know, from place to place. And I'm going to make a confession here on the radio, on live radio. So when I was probably in the first grade, would have to have been in the first grade, because by the time I was, actually it was, maybe I made my first confession when I was in the third grade. But anyway, we lived in Colorado Springs. My father was stationed at what at that time was Ent Air Force Base. That's also where they have the Air Force Academy over there too. And so I would go home for lunch, and this is my confession, but I stole a penny licorice. Because in these little stores, you know, the little shirts, my mother would always say, you know, on the way home, I want you to buy a loaf of bread. Right. Or, you know, she'd give me money to get a loaf, the milk was actually delivered to our home, you know, as I remember, because I remember kicking or breaking the glass. The milk was all over the place at a neighbor's house. But anyway, so I stole a penny licorice.
Right.
You know what a penny licorice is? It's that long licorice. I took it.
Back then it was, now it's probably a 5 cents licorice, and it's smaller.
I wonder if
10 cents or something.
Anyway, the point is stole, to be honest. I stole it. And so when I made my first confession, we were already in, we had moved to Florida, Tyndall Air Force Base, and that's where I made my first Holy Communion and my first confession. I had my first confession. So naturally, I confessed that I stole the penny licorice, and the priest said, "You have to make reparation. You have to pay that back." You know. So in my little mind, third grade mind, I think I would have been in the third grade. In my mind, I thought, you know, although I didn't say anything, but it was in my mind. Well, how can I possibly? When will I ever be back in Colorado? How can I ever pay back this penny licorice? And the licorice is gone, right? But to make reparation to give back the money to pay for what I didn't pay for, and you know that was always on my mind. It never left my mind. And as a young priest, I made a trip from Chicago, drove to Colorado Springs, and. Part of it was I wanted to revisit this place where I lived as a child and where I went to school. But I made it a point to go back to the store. It was no longer a store. It was a Radio Shack. But I left $5 on the counter. Just went in and left $5. I figured that would be interest, right, for all those years.
For a penny.
And since then, my mind has been, my conscience has been cleared. So
see, this is what I mean. Some might say, okay, well, wow, that confession, that priest tortured that poor child for all these years, put that in his head. But, you know, I mean, isn't it really the proper thing to do?
He didn't have to
go to the extreme that you did, but you did.
He didn't torture me. He just, because he was very kind, as I remember. It was a very kind confession. But the point was, you know, in your second grade or third grade mind, you're thinking he didn't explain that you could, you know, there's other ways to make reparation.
And people would, again, say, well, this is what's bad about confession, or this is bad what's about, you know, the Catholic Church. This is how you messed up this poor kid's mind.
No.
And it's not.
It's the
way you look at it.
Yeah, sure. It could happen.
Yeah.
You could have a mean priest, you know. There's.
And I'm not saying there's not, but I mean, the point is, it's the lesson you took, the lesson, you know, it was a lesson that you learned, and I'm sure you didn't steal any more candy after.
I mean, in all honesty, I realized, you know, in my adult, as I grew up, I realized that, you know, I didn't have to literally go back to Colorado, but it's just that it was always on my mind.
Exactly.
And so I thought, well, while I'm there, I'm going to do it, you know.
And did it, after that, did it ever come to your mind anymore? It was done.
Yeah,
right?
I'm talking about it right now. Right?
But aside from that, it wasn't every day you were saying, wow, I still have to make reparations.
No.
Exactly.
No, of course not.
So the thing was done. Yeah. And the lesson.
Unless I didn't calculate the interest on the penny, who knows. But I do know that the children had very good experience, you know, because it's a precious time, and you know, you deal with their fears. You don't want to. You really want to make them.
And
we, you know, after the gospel reading, I do the homily, and I know that they're
they're frightened, and some of them, you know, and most of them, to be honest, and some do cry, you know, as they're confessing their sins, they're crying.
Well, they get sick.
Yeah, so, and then some of them you don't, I really don't know what they said, you know, because they're just kind of whispering, and
yeah.
I'm trying to, but anyway, it was a beautiful experience. So that was, so yesterday was a full day. Today, we'll take a break and then we'll come back. There's a reading. I want to share this. And just, you know, think about it in, well, what we're going through today, what, you know, I talk about a nightmare. But this reading comes from the book of the prophet Daniel. Mm-hmm. We had this at Mass a couple of days ago, and I thought, wow, this is it's the prayer of Azariah. And I thought, wow, this is really quite appropriate for our day and our time. So when we come back, I want to share this. This is a very beautiful prayer, and ask you whether you think it's a prayer that we should be praying every day. Every day. It certainly is very appropriate for the season of Lent, and with the confirmandi, the children, mm-hmm. the young people who are receiving confirmation. I started with that prayer, and it helped me to put things, help them to put things in perspective, because really I think we should be just having our eyes open to what's going on all around us. It should bring us to think, you know, hey, I think we really need to, if we haven't, to rethink or revisit or return, certainly to God, because really this is a discipline, no doubt, but it works. Mm. It works. The world without God, the free reign of the flesh, the seductions and the deceptions and the illusion of the enemy, of the devil, these things are not working at all. And there are consequences, and we're paying dearly for those, for having been, in many ways, led down the wrong path or paths, you know, many paths that people have chosen quite innocently, I think, you know. So we'll be right back, and I'm going to share this prayer from the prophet Daniel, the prayer of Azariah. Don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
This is Father Wade Menezes of the Fathers of Mercy and host of EWTN Radio's Open Line Tuesday. Heavenly Father, we ask that this Lenten season prove grace-filled for each one of us, allowing for a humble examination of self that is Christ-centered and which fosters a greater awareness and love for the three eminent good works of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, TNT, Tony and Tony.
Tony,
Nick. I always leave Nick out, you know?
Forget the end.
TNT, Tony, Nick,
Nick and Tony.
Okay. This is listen to this. This is a beautiful prayer. And I have to say, so let me put it in context. This was prayed during the exile. So the people of the covenant, this is why it was really good for the confirmandi, the students preparing for confirmation, because they have to understand that the covenant, an agreement, an alliance, you know, between God and us, and to be true to that covenant, to live as God wants us to live. And so, as people well know, you know, let's just go to Moses. You know, Yahweh appears to Moses at the burning bush. He says, "My people are enslaved. I want them free, and I'm going to send you." Moses, he balks, but he goes. He said, "What is your name?" You know, I think we talked about this the other day, that I can tell them who sent me. And he says, "I am who am." And Moses went. They knew their God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they didn't. They didn't know God. They hadn't had the encounter, so to speak. And so, anyway, as everybody knows, they were finally set free. The Jewish people, the Israelites, were set free through the sprinkling of the blood over the doorpost, the blood of the Lamb. They were brought through the waters of the Red Sea, brought through the desert. They were sustained with the manna, the bread from heaven, crossed over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. All that is a prefiguration for the Messianic hour. We're living in the Messianic time, that we would be set free from our slavery to sin and death through the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus, the high priest. The priest offers himself, the living sacrifice, the Lamb of sacrifice, to atone for our sins, to redeem us from our slavery to sin and death. And then we're brought through the waters of baptism, like they were brought through the waters of the Red Sea, and were made members of his body, because as they cross the Red Sea, then the covenant is established. I am your God, you are my people. They agree to the covenant, and then he leads them through the desert for 40 years. As I said, they're sustained with the bread from heaven, the manna. And so we're brought through the waters of baptism. We're brought into the covenant, members of the body of Christ, the family of God, the mystical body of Christ, and we begin our journey, right? So we have a lifelong journey through the desert of life, the valley of tears. Again, I say this, ask this often of the people: has there ever been a day, if there's ever been a day when you haven't suffered something, some assault to the mind, the body, the soul, or the spirit, then raise your hand. And nobody raises their hands. Even the students, I asked them that yesterday. Nobody raised their hand, because even getting out of bed in the morning is the first suffering of the day, especially if you've had a nightmare. You know, well, you're kind of happy to get out of bed, but it's just, you know, you wake up with all this anxiety and this fear, and you know, wondering what was this all about. But anyway, so as we're making our way through life, the desert of life, the valley of tears. Certainly there's, we have oases and we have respites, you know, a time for rest. I mean, that's why God incorporated Sunday as a day of rest, which, because we live in a radically secularized society, it's not so well observed. But we're sustained with we're just talking about the sacraments, you know, a baptism, a Holy Eucharist, reconciliation. It's all this is kind of in the prayer here. So I'm leading up to this prayer. So anyway, the point is the people were brought through the desert, crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. We will eventually cross the threshold of death, hopefully into the Promised Land, into heaven, if we live and die in God's grace. So the people were in the Promised Land. And, you know, this is now we're talking about 587 586 B.C., prior to that, because one of the prophets, you know, God raises up the prophets always to call people back to their senses, back to the covenant, back to the truth. And, I mean, nothing new under the sun. The people had gone astray, and they turned their back on God. They turned their back on the commandments. they turned their back on the covenant, basically. There were all kinds of abominations taking place in the temple, a lot of sacrilege going on. It was just a mess. And so the prophet Habakkuk, this is in the around maybe 610 BC, whatever, I believe, I don't know, in that era, in that time, maybe it was a little bit later, but he said, you know, God, he knew that the Lord was going to chastise the people. And he says, why do you chastise the people, these people, your people, when there are those who are faithful? There's a remnant. There are those who are keeping the faith, and why should they punish? Why should they suffer the chastisement? And God says, I'm conscious of those people. And yes, of course they suffer. We all suffer the consequences of sin. That's why when we sin, you know, we not only diminish ourselves, we diminish others as well. We add to the disorder in the world, in society. And so, but God said, Yahweh said, you know, but I'm conscious of those people, and I will rebuild my people. He had to chastise in order to rebuild. They had to bring them to their senses, bring them back to the reality. And so in 586 BC, the Babylonians destroy Jerusalem. The temple's destroyed. They lose their status as a nation. They're deported. They're in the exile. They were guilty of all kinds of idolatries. And so in the exile, as they're coming to their, some of them, as they're coming to their senses, this is a prayer that is prayed. This is the prayer of Azariah. Think of this prayer being prayed in the context of our time in history. So he prays, Azariah, he stood up and he prayed aloud, "For your name's sake, O Lord, do not deliver us up forever or make void your covenant. Do not take away your mercy from us. For the sake of Abraham, your beloved, Isaac, your servant, and Israel, or Jacob, your holy one, to whom you promised to multiply their offspring like the stars of heaven or the sand on the shore of the sea." By the way, I'm going to pause here because to whom you promised to multiply their offspring. So that's, we're talking about the Catholicity or the new covenant that would be a universal covenant, because from this nation the Messiah would come, and Jesus will tell the early churches, the primitive churches, all Jewish, and the apostles are sent, go to all the nations, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, preach repentance for sin, conversion of life, metanoia, bring people to God. By the way, we'll read tomorrow's Feast of St. Patrick, so we'll read from his own writings, and again, reading that within the context of the times we're living in. But so to whom you promised to multiply your offspring like the stars of heaven or the sand on the shore of the sea, we're part of that offspring. That's why in the Mass we recall our father Abraham. And he goes on to pray, for we are reduced, O Lord, beyond any other nation, brought low everywhere in the world this day because of our sins, acknowledging our sins. And they lost their status as a nation. It was their own doing. We have in our day no prince, prophet, or leader, no burnt offering, sacrifice, oblation, or incense, no place to offer first fruits to find favor with you. And again, let me pause there, because a sacrifice, all sacrifice is a preparation for the ultimate sacrifice, and that is, and that's why it's important that this people be purged, purified, chastised, in order to be purified and transformed and brought back into the reality of the covenant, because it's through them that the Messiah would come. If your heart's in a different place, not with God, not with you're no longer grateful for the covenant, for having been set free, Having recalled all that God had done over the ages, you turn your back on that reality, then, God can't, God needs our response, that's a point that I want to make. But the point is that we have in our day no prince, prophet, or leader. In other words, and think about it today, who's leading us? In whom do we find the truth? And we have no burnt offering, no sacrifice. I was thinking about the deprivation imposed upon all people throughout the world during the pandemic. Was that maybe not a prelude to something? For the first time in, 2,000 years, that all of a sudden throughout the world all the churches are closed, shuttered? Something to think about, we couldn't offer the holy sacrifice privately, a priest could. People could watch it on their internet, right? Mm-hmm. In some cases. So he goes on to say, but with contrite heart and humble spirit, let us be received as though it were burnt offerings of rams and bullocks or thousands of fat lambs. So let our sacrifice be in your presence today as we follow you unreservedly, for those who trust in you cannot be put to shame. So let our sacrifice, and isn't this again, how do we participate, how do we assist in the offering of the sacrifice of the Mass, but we offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship. I had to ask the children that yesterday again, the young people. I keep telling them, but I want them to tell me, you have to hear things, as you say, 7 times or 70 times mm-hmm. seven. It was the gospel the other day too, the just man sins 7 times a day. And Peter says, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times a day? And Jesus says, no, Peter, 70 times. So we say you have to hear something 7 times before you know. Maybe it's 70 times we have to hear before it really, really sinks in. And
just say, keep saying it.
Keep saying it. Keep saying it. So I'm asking the kids, the young people, this sacred adventure that is life, and at the center of life is the Messiah, God who came to us in the flesh. That messianic hour is perpetuated, renewed, represented down through history until he comes at the end of time in the sublime mysteries of our faith. Who's the spectator? This is a sacred drama. Who is the spectator? There's only one spectator. Who is that spectator? And some of them get it. It's the Father, God the Father. Who's the principal character of Jesus Christ? Who are the other characters? There's only one spectator in this sacred drama. Who are the other characters? We are the characters in this sacred story. We, the church militant in the battle, in the spiritual battle, but also the church triumphant, the angels and the saints, the Blessed Virgin Mary in heaven. We all participate. We all are part of this sacred drama. And so he goes on to say, and now we follow you with our whole heart. We fear you and we pray to you. Do not let us be put to shame, but deal with us in your kindness and great mercy. Deliver us by your wonders and bring glory to your name, O Lord. It's a beautiful prayer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that appropriate for our day and time?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I often wonder, or it doesn't surprise me, let me just say this, that in the apparition, Our Lady in Fatima said, pray the rosary daily for conversion and for peace. And if we don't do this, she forewarns us of a great war, and then there will be another great war, the annihilation of nations. In private locutions or apparitions to Lucia, because Francisco and...
Lucia.
It was Lucia, Francesco, and Jacinta.
Yeah.
both died. She said they would die. They died in the pandemic of 1918. But she, Our Lady in the apparition, said that she would bring them to heaven soon, very soon. Lucia died maybe 15 years ago, I think, perhaps more or less. But but during her, she joined the convent. I think she was a Carmelite nun, and but Our Lady continued to appear to her, or at least she had interlocutions, or Our Lady spoke to her and spoke about the divisions within the church and the assault, the final assault would be an assault on marriage and family. I mean, this is all recorded, and look at what we're going through right now. Talked about divisions in the church, and that's what we had to pray for the Pope, pray for, you know, the priests, the bishops, you know. There will be cardinals against cardinals, bishops against bishops. We read about this every day today.
Yep.
We see the assault on the family. There's nobody can deny that reality, a sad reality. But adding to the decade, as I understand, somebody refuted this, but I've never really investigated it. But I know that we pray that my Jesus, forgive us our sins,
save us from the
fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those who are in most need of thy mercy. And here Azariah is saying, deal with us in your kindness and great mercy. Because mercy is God's greatest attribute. So this is in 1917 that Our Lady appeared in Fatima. And it was in the 1930s that Jesus appeared to St. Maria Faustina Kowalska and gave the chaplet of the Divine Mercy that we would pray using the rosary beads, this unceasing prayer for God's mercy, even to the point, you know, that Jesus said that a spark would come out of Poland and prepare the world for my second coming. It's really interesting when you think about that. But every time we pray the chaplet of the Divine Mercy, and we do it every day, we began the show with the one decade of the chaplet. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. It's really acknowledging before God, you know, when people have basically done what these people did. You know, we were turning away from God. We've turned our back on the covenant. We've turned away from the commandments of God. Or we want to rewrite those commandments, or we're going to, when you think of what's going on in Germany in the Synod, I mean, this is heretical, really heretical. I hope this isn't true, but among other things, that they're voting now I was just reading yesterday that the bishops voted to ordain transsexual people. That's completely heretical. That doesn't make any sense. I hope that's not really the case, but that's what I read yesterday in two different places. Even the liturgy, I saw I'm supposing this was done within the context of the Mass. That's what I read. I saw it on the video, and it looked completely demonic, completely demonic. But it's but there hasn't been a strong pushback against this, and this is not Catholic. It's not Catholic, and so you just see these things going on all over the place, and you scratch your head and you say, you know, that's why my suggestion is perhaps, you know, as Scripture says, what's in the dark will come into the light. And is this not all just in a very bold, arrogant way being foisted upon us? It's like there's no shame anymore. Just everything is coming to light.
We're seeing this more and more now.
Yeah.
And that those words are so true.
So wouldn't that provoke within us perhaps a return to God?
It should.
Before something bad happens? Because I can't see, you know, people often say, well, God won't chastise. I've heard many priests, I've even heard bishops say this. And I just disagree. You know, the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. What if we are people of the covenant and we defy God, or we become guilty of all kinds of idolatries, or we have no regard for the commandments of God, for the sake of our salvation, wouldn't God, I mean, again, you just think about it, parents who raise their children, if a child is behaving in a way that is going to bring damage to that child or bring down the family or create disorder where there need not be disorder in the home, doesn't the parent have an obligation to chastise or to punish the child? Not abuse the child. We're not talking about abuse. We're talking about, I mean, who of us is, and that's even written in Scripture, you know, what father, it's in one of the epistles, is it in the gospel? I don't quite recall, but the point, what father who loves a son would not chastise the son for the better good of that son in view of that son's being a good citizen of the land, but also that son's salvation? So do not disdain the discipline of the Lord. That's what's written there. Do not disdain the discipline of the Lord because of his love, he will chastise or punish in order to bring us to our senses, to bring us home. But now, again, is God's greatest attribute is mercy, and he's rich in mercy, slow to anger, very patient, but there's a tipping point. There's a tipping point. And it just seems to me that we're moving very quickly toward that tipping point, especially when, and I heard this again, I know I don't want to beat a dead horse, but again, I was listening to the radio this morning as I was exercising, and the stuff going on in Barrington, in the schools in Barrington, the books that are in the library that are extremely pornographic, and I mean, really, truly bizarre. And as somebody called in and said, if an adult were to give that book to a child or a young person on the street, that person would be arrested.
See, I think now what needs to be done, and I hate to advocate for being that strong arm and say all these people should be put in jail. Because, like you said, if that was an adult doing this to a child, that would be a crime. And now we're saying in the school we can do this because these children aren't the parents' responsibility. They are now the school or the state.
Or the state.
That's what it's looking
they
like.
They belong to the state, no longer
and
to the
that
family.
Is...
In fact, that's, you know, it's certain statements have been made to that point that, you know, the parents, what do they know?
Yeah.
We're educated. We're the educators. We're the we're trained, and not in the case of all the educators, but I mean, again, it doesn't take much, but a group that takes power, and so even, you know, what's interesting is we've talked about this many times too, but because this is happening all over the place. So these parents that go to the school board, yep. They want these books taken out of the library. They read. I mentioned somewhere. They had the quote of an 11-year-old boy who was reading from the book at the school board meeting.
Yep.
And as I was listening to what he was reading, I couldn't believe it. But you have other parents who stay. So many parents, you know. So this is a child reading the book that he took from the library, an 11-year-old, with it's just beyond filth. It's really beyond. It's filth. It's beyond pornographic. Pornography is pornography. Mm-hmm. But other parents, you know, speaking out as well. But then there are those parents who actually
don't have a problem with
it. Have no problem with it. And so it's like this almost a bit of a tug of war.
So then, you know, think about it this way then. If people are so that far gone, then you put a vote to it. And you know what I mean? If more people are for this than against this, then no crime, no foul, no crime.
Well, I mentioned it. I think it was.
But the point is still wrong.
In Pennsylvania or somewhere out east, did I mention this the other day about the Muslims who went in? The men?
Yeah.
They went in and they said, you know, no, this is not going to, you're not going to bring this into the school, into the schools. No way.
Yeah.
And I think they backed away, immediately.
This is the danger part of this now, or what is forming with this, is anybody that has any kind of, you don't want this to happen, are considered violent, are considered, we can put you in jail because you're telling us, you're standing up and saying no. If you say no, if you confront this, you can be put away.
Right, which has happened. And so when you go back to the prayer of Azariah, and you know, we are reduced, O Lord, beyond any other nation, brought low everywhere in the world this day because of our sins, the West, our own nation. You know, people. When the law of God was given, the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, recall this, people, from the book of Deuteronomy, and remember, Jesus says, I'm not taking any, this is binding on all people for all time. But it was said explicitly, you know, drill these laws into your children, love this law, obey the law, fulfill the law. I know we repeat this over and over again, but it has to be. We have to regain a true sensitivity to the laws of God and enter into this discipline, imperfect as we may be, but not make a mockery or sacrilege of what's been handed down to us. And if we keep the law, if we fulfill the law, if we teach the law, we give witness to God's laws, those Ten Commandments. And again, Jesus brings us beyond the law into a life of high virtue, even beyond the law. Then, but just keeping the Ten Commandments, as Scripture says, you prove yourself to be a wise, intelligent, knowledgeable, dignified, and graceful people. You'll be the envy of other nations. So when people look into our nation today, what do they see? When God looks into our nation today, what does he see? This is the question. What does he see? There are many, many, many good people. But again, this stuff is demonic. It's demonic. Yeah. And if we're intimidated into silence, then in some ways we're complicit. Anyway, we're out of time now, but it's I just think this prayer of Azariah is so appropriate for our day and our time. It really is a time of to reawaken to the God from whom we come, to whom we go, if we choose to live in God and allow God to live in us. Okay, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.